This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Thursday, the 28th day of March, 2024. It is Maundy Thursday, the Thursday before Easter. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble, and then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com, check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to, I guarantee it. Oh, how are you today? Hope you're having a great day as we prepare to worship the Lord on Sunday and celebrate the resurrection. I don't know if your church has a Maundy Thursday service. If it does, go to it. If your church has a Good Friday service, you should be there. All of these things. Being an involved member of your local church is so important to your Christian growth. It cannot be understated. Trying to go it alone doesn't work. It doesn't work. All right, what do we got coming up today? We have scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And our week of Holy Week scripture and devotional reading continues with today. With today. Got to wake up. I stayed up late last night, later than I should have. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was working on some stuff, and I just had Netflix open on my iPad, and I found the 1974 Charles Bronson Death Wish, which I have not seen probably since high school. And I started watching that. Didn't finish it, but I ended up staying up too late than I should have. So I did not want to get up this morning when the alarm went off. But thinking about the crime rates in the cities in the 70s and 80s that led to movies like the Death Wish series, which is the story of a man whose wife is killed and his daughter is raped in an attack, and he becomes a vigilante hunting down muggers, basically, because the police won't do anything or can't do anything. And that was, you know, an expression of frustration with crime levels that were occurring at the time. And then in the 80s, I remember, most people don't remember the original Edward Woodward, The Equalizer show. But that was a former secret agent who was helping people who were in trouble. And it took place in a crime-riddled New York in the early 80s. Same crime-riddled New York that Death Wish took place in the mid-70s. And that was a reality 50 years ago, that crime rate. Well, that crime rate is back. And so it's suddenly movies like this seem relevant again, because our cities, which had cleaned themselves up. I mean, New York under Rudy Giuliani and then even under Bloomberg, the law and order was very much, I'm thinking back to the opening sequences of the Equalizer television show, where there's a scene that takes place in a deserted subway station. This woman's all alone waiting for the subway. And she runs up and misses the train. The train pulls away, and she's left standing alone on the platform right as a miscreant steps out of the shadows. But I remember that subway train was just covered with graffiti. And under Giuliani, all that had been cleaned up. I remember riding the subway trains in the early 2000s, and it was clean. You felt safe. Different world. Well, we're back to that crime-riddled world again. So it seemed like that movie was timely. But that's not our topic of discussion today. It's just the reason why I stayed up too late. All right. Let us begin, get ourselves back on track here, and begin with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our prayer for the reading of the Word, blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience in the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture readings today are Exodus 16 and Psalm 66. Exodus 16. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Zin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to put this whole assembly to death with hunger." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my law. Now it will be on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that Yahweh has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of Yahweh. For he hears your grumbling against Yahweh, and what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "This will happen when Yahweh gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning, for Yahweh hears your grumblings which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against Yahweh." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before Yahweh, for he has heard your grumblings." Now it happened, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, that they turned toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yahweh appeared in the cloud. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, so that you shall know that I am Yahweh your God. So it happened at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. Then the layer of dew evaporated, and behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And the sons of Israel saw it and said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, It is the bread which Yahweh has given you to eat. This is what Yahweh has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece, according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. And the sons of Israel did so. Some gathered much and some little. And they measured it with an omer, and he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. And Moses said to them, Let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and they left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat, but the sun would grow hot, and it would melt. Now it happened that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. Then all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, and he said to them, This is what Yahweh has spoken. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is in excess put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had commanded, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. And Moses said, Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then Yahweh said to Moses, How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, Yahweh has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Then Moses said, This is what Yahweh has commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, Take a jar, and put an omer full of manna in it, and place it before Yahweh to be kept throughout your generations. As Yahweh commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. And the sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years, until they came to the inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. And now, Psalm 66. The 66th Psalm, for the choir director, a song, a psalm. Make a loud shout to God, all the earth. Sing praise for the glory of his name. Establish his praise as glorious. Say to God, How fearsome are your works! Because of the abundance of your strength, your enemies will cower before you. All the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. Who is fearsome in his deeds toward the sons of men? He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There, let us be glad in him. He rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Bless our God, O peoples, and make the sound of his praise heard. Who establishes us among the living and does not allow our feet to stumble? For you have tested us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You established an oppressive burden upon our loins. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you brought us out into a place of abundance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay you my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer you burnt offerings of fat beasts. With the smoke of rams, I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats. Selah. Come in here, all who fear God, and I will recount what he has done for my soul. I called out to him with my mouth, and he was exalted with my tongue. If I see wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ by John MacArthur. Today's devotional is Jesus Challenges the Scribe. Then a scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Matthew 8:19-20. Superficially, Jesus' expression, "the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head," has nothing to do with the scribe's confident words. In proverbial style, he simply wanted to caution the man that even though he was God's son, his ministry did not include comfortable living. He actually had fewer amenities than some animals. Christ wanted the scribe to assess the sincerity of his assertion. It's easy to make a bold, impressive profession of loyalty, especially if you don't first think about the cost of commitment. Early in his ministry, our Lord knew that many did not have a genuine faith. He was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in a man. John 2:24-25. Many were committed only to the thrill of following Jesus around and seeing miracles performed, not to his person and saving work. They were examples of the seed that had no root but fell away soon because of adversity. Matthew 13:5-6 and Matthew 13:20-21. Bible commentator R.C. H. Linsky once noted that people with eager but uncertain vows of allegiance to Christianity are like those who view the soldiers on parade, the fine uniforms, and the glittering arms, and are eager to join, forgetting the exhausting marches, the bloody battles, the graves perhaps unmarked. Ask yourself, are we guilty of trying to make the Christian faith so attractive that we disguise its demands and difficulties? What are the logical consequences of such a tactic on those who come to Christ without counting the cost? Good word this morning, as always, from Dr. MacArthur. All right, it is Maundy Thursday. Maundy Thursday marks the day of the Last Supper. Maundy is not a word we use very often outside of certain liturgical circles. Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, which is the word for commandment. And it comes from Jesus's words in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." That commandment was given in the upper room during the Last Supper. And so that is how the day became known as Maundy Thursday. And so if you're wondering where that word came from, that's it. This is, as I said, the day that marks the celebration of the Last Supper and all of the surrounding events. It's the night of Jesus's arrest. He went to the upper room with his disciples. They celebrated the Passover together. They went out to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, and there he was arrested. So this is the day that marks that. So our Holy Week scripture and devotional for Thursday was written by Michael Pettiette, P-E-T-T-I-E-T-T-E. Again, this is a devotional that has been put out by First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Tom Buck's church in Texas, and G3 Ministries in Atlanta. It is available for a free download. I have it. The link will be in the show notes. I encourage you to pick it up. Is it free download? And it has in it much more than we are reading on the podcast. So I would point you to it as a valuable resource, if not this year, then next, as it's rapidly, Holy Week is rapidly drawing to a close. But download that PDF and tuck it away somewhere safe and save it for next year. I read, "Surely it was not supposed to go this way. Surely God's plan to save the lost and bring glory to himself would not include his son being betrayed, falsely accused, and found guilty in a sham of a trial by his own people. If we were writing the story of a king coming to have an everlasting dominion foretold by the prophet Daniel, Daniel 7:13, the story might include conquering or sweeping restoration, but it would also include the king's closest allies right by his side. That is not how the story went for Jesus. Long before the betrayal, arrest, and trial of Jesus, prophets foretold that not only would Christ suffer and die, but he would also be abandoned by all of his disciples. Does this sound like everything is going wrong? In actuality, Mark 14:43 through 72 shows us that everything was going exactly how God the Father said it would. It also shows us that Jesus was the only one who knew everything was happening just as the prophets of old had foretold. Mark 14:43 through 72. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, and with him was a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard.' After coming, Judas, having immediately gone to him, said, 'Rabbi,' and kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me, as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But this has taken place in order that the scriptures would be fulfilled.' And they all left him and fled. And a young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body. And they seized him, but he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. Then they led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together. And Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were seeking to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against him, but their testimony was not consistent. And some, standing up, were giving false testimony against him, saying, 'We ourselves heard him say, I will destroy this sanctuary made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.' And not even in this way was their testimony consistent. And the high priest stood up in their midst and questioned Jesus, saying, 'You answer nothing. What are these men testifying against you?' But he kept silent and did not answer. Again the high priest was questioning him and said to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven.' And tearing his tunics, the high priest said, 'What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?' and they all condemned him to be deserving of death. And some began to spit at him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him with their fists, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers received him with slaps in the face. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the entryway. And when the servant girl saw him, she began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again he was denying it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are also a Galilean." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." And immediately a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said the statement to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And throwing himself down, he began to cry. The time has come for Jesus to be betrayed, arrested, and tried. Before this, he spent a final night with his disciples praying. 14:1-42. After this, he would be delivered to Pilate for his death sentence. He would be crucified, and he would die. At the beginning of Mark 14, we see our time and our place. Jerusalem, 2 days before the Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests and scribes went to arrest and kill Jesus in secret, fearing an uproar from the crowd. Though the leaders thought they were acting in stealth and winning a great victory for their cause, their sinful actions would be recorded for all to see for eternity, and their plans for evil would help accomplish God's ultimate plan of salvation. In order to accomplish salvation for sinful man, Jesus had to suffer and die. This passage directly leads to his death, but it also shows how he suffered, namely being rejected by his own and abandoned by his closest disciples. He is the only one in this story who knows exactly what is happening and knows that it is going exactly the way it was supposed to go. In Mark chapter 14 alone, we can see that Jesus knows what is coming. "But you do not always have me. Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. It is one of the 12, the one who dips with me in the bowl. Today, this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Mark 14:7, Mark 14:18, Mark 14:20, Mark 14:30, Mark 14:42, Mark 14:62. What an amazing Savior Christ is to pray what he prayed in Mark 14:36. "Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And the Collect for Maundy Thursday. Almighty Father, whose most dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it in thankful remembrance of Jesus Christ our Savior, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Collect for Guidance. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Maundy Thursday. I hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Keep thinking on the things of Christ and the cross and the resurrection, everything that we are remembering this week. As you go through the day, remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.